to be with you. Going to speak today, again, my friend Alex and Faye, who are a long time, we worked in Direct Prince Ministries for many years, so it's good to be with them, and good to be with you. Thank you to the worship team for their, I think, gentle leading us into the presence of the Lord. It was good. I'm going to speak from an unusual passage in some ways, Luke 24, that we know as the road to Emmaus, because it involves two people like us. They're not Peter, they're not John, they're not Thomas, they're not Paul. I don't even know if they appear anywhere else in Scripture. But there's about 20 verses devoted to them, and there must be a reason for that, because, you know, all Scripture has its particular purpose. So let me read it first, and the title I have is We Had Hoped, and you'll see why in a minute. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So context is, Jesus has just been crucified. He has risen from the dead, but the disciples hadn't got it yet. In fact, twice, once to the women, once to Peter. Well, Peter, he hadn't appeared. Peter had gone to the tomb and it was empty. So they had this kind of understanding that something unusual had happened, but they didn't know what. Thank you. They didn't know what. And so there's doubt, there's confusion, there's difficulty, and there's hope. So the two of them, they were on the doubt and difficulty side, and they're walking from Jerusalem 7 miles to Emmaus. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, I'll go into why I think that is in a minute. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" said Jesus, as if he didn't know. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful. He was a prophet." I'll come back to that in a minute. "Powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped." That's what I want to talk about. That those times in our life where we thought we had it, we thought we knew what was going on, but it didn't. Now, I know in a church like this, you're all perfect. You all walk in faith. There are never any battles or struggles. So we're talking about people out there who do have battles and struggles, including Alex and myself and Faye. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. I have 5 daughters and 5 granddaughters and 1 wife, so I can understand. Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah..." Wait a minute, got something wrong with my apple. what is going on there? Wait a minute, I can't read the top line. Did not the Messiah have... Why is it doing that? It's gone... Oh, no, I get it. It wants to open Bible study, but I don't want to open Bible study. this fault in Apple. Actually, it's the... Let me go to this one. It has put a green bar over the next line, so the next line remains a deep mystery. We'll be there. Luke chapter 24. There we go. So where were we? Verse 23. Moreover, some of the women amazed us. We're below, aren't we? O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now notice that. Goodness me, this is getting more and more exciting. Do I get a throne as well?
Thank you. We have to look after Apple.
Well, Apple's misbehaving without your help, actually. That's better, that's better. All right. Notice they said he's a prophet, but Jesus is saying, no, let me tell you what the prophets said about me. And that's going to give you a hint that part of their problem was they didn't understand the scriptures. So as they drew near the village to which they were going, this scares me, this bit. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is now far spent. We do realize that so much of our walk with Jesus, a huge element is our choices. See, the grace is sufficient. The grace is there. His love is there. His purpose for our lives. But we have to make those choices. And they did make a choice. They said, no, stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were gathered together, saying, the Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood amongst them. Now, I want to start from that expression. How do we do this? I say down and you go down. I mean, not you personally, but... I want to start from we had hoped. Because in all of our lives... go down. Yeah. In all of our lives, there are places where, even when we're really walking with the Lord, things happen that are unexpected, and things happen that are very difficult to understand. For them, they had their track, their plan of how Jesus was going to work it out, and they had seen him crucified. So they're saying, we had hoped he was going to be the Messiah, but apparently he's not. And in any real walk with the Lord, there are going to be times when we say, we had hoped. I hesitate to tell this story because it involves Australia. But my wife and I went, she went later. I went to Taiwan in 1969 as a missionary. That's 50 years ago. And after 10 years, China began to open up. The call was to China, but in those days, what is called Wenhua Da Ge Ming, the great cultural revolution was in place, and you couldn't go in. So we went to Taiwan. And after 10 years, as Deng Xiaoping began to open up China, we left Taiwan, and the Lord blocked us to go into China. I understand why now, but it was difficult at the time. After a number of years, we planted a church in England, and then were invited to one, I'm not going to say where or what, one of the biggest churches in Australia, said, come and work with us in mission. And the Australian government refused to let us come in, because one of our daughters has a very rare metabolic disease, which essentially means she couldn't eat meat, fish, cheese, eggs, ice cream, milk, whatever, and had to have substitutes, which were quite expensive. And the Australian government understandably said, we're not going to pay for your kid if you come down. And so we've got an invitation to come, and at the last moment, the answer is no, you can't. And we were absolutely shattered. It really was, we had hoped. I mean, at that point, we really longed to get out of England, which is understandable. And the Lord seemed to open this door. The guy inviting us was a very, very senior pastor, a very respected brother. I don't want to say where or who. And the Australian government said no. Even went to Canberra and met with a Christian MP and said, can you help us? But the answer was no. And we were shattered. Now, this is why I hesitate to tell the story, because the fact is, it would have been one of the biggest mistakes of my life if we'd done that. Because it wasn't God. Not because it was Australia. You do understand that. I'm not. It could have been New Zealand even. It just wasn't the Lord. And very shortly after that, the Lord opened the door to Singapore. And we lived there for 13 years, developed Derek Prince Ministries there, the China base is still there, developed the other ministry there. But at the time, when that communication came through from the Australian immigration folk, it was shattering. It was, we had hoped, Lord, we really need to get out of England. We had hoped. What are you doing? All of us, I believe, have those disappointments. And I'm interested, you know, Jesus comes up and they don't recognize him. And he says, what are you talking about? He says, come on. Are you really the only one that doesn't? It's angry, actually, to me. And when doors close, there is an anger that's very easily coming out of us, isn't it? And it's understandable. Now, what I want to say is, it's impossible, in my view, to prosper in the Christian life unless we can face those situations and, by the grace of God, overcome them. If anybody here thinks the Christian life, now I've received Jesus, everything's going to be perfect, you're on the wrong planet. When I was a student at Cambridge, I became very hungry. I came from a very evangelical background, became very hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. And I went to see a brother who was a leading pastor who had a strong experience of the Spirit, and he prayed for me. And I walked down a back street in Cambridge and was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues and had a presence of the Lord I'd never known before. But I'm really grateful for something that brother said to me. He said, now you will understand spiritual warfare. Because it's easy to think. I mean, for about 2 weeks, if you have that kind of experience, you float on cloud nine and then boom, the enemy comes back at you. And it is spiritual warfare. Thank you for some of the worship songs. That first one's lovely, isn't it? Was it worship is the way to the heart of God, to the purposes of God, and so on. It is. It's sometimes worship is through gritted teeth, isn't it? Because we had hoped, but we don't see it. Let's go down. Let's leave this gentleman. I was reading, actually it's Psalm 55, I think, I was reading this morning, not 54. And he says, David, I think it is, says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide it from him." He said, if it's an enemy or an adversary, I could run or hide or something. But it's you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. That kind of thing is a real we had hoped, isn't it? You walk with someone, the sweetness of fellowship, and then, I'm sorry to say, it does happen. They stab you in the back. They betray you. And that's a shattering experience. You could probably tell stories. I could probably tell. Well, I certainly could have that. I read this morning. I got notes on every chapter in the Bible because I put everything inside my Mac. You'll be pleased to hear. Well, it's so safe apart from that thing. I read this comment. 70% of the Psalms are laments. These laments arose from the disappointments, the losses, and the tragedies the psalmist faced, because they did not avoid these issues or deny the things that things were as they were. 70% of the psalms are lament. Now, realize they didn't stop there. David doesn't stop there in Psalm 55. He finishes saying, put your trust in the Lord and he'll keep you. The last words of the psalm is, I will trust the Lord. But he was real about that kind of experience. And to be honest, if we're not real about them, we'll never get to the victory place that Jesus wants to give us. Down. Living comfortably with confusion and mystery is not easy. I think it's a very important statement. It was also in my notes this morning when I was reading Psalm 55. See, what we do is invent stupid solutions some of the time. I'm sorry to say that, but we do. You've got to live with confusion. You've got to live with mystery at certain points in your life and not come out with pious evangelical solutions, which aren't real solutions. There are times when you've, like the Australian thing, where you've got to live. I mean, my wife and I, we walked in prayer time saying, Lord, are you on holiday? What is going on here? And then in his time, he tells you exactly why. And you realize, thank you, Lord, that you didn't do that. But at the time, you're living with confusion. You're living with difficulty. When, as we did about 15 years ago, get a phone call early, we were in Singapore early one Monday morning saying that our eldest daughter had been involved in a serious car crash. And you're thousands of miles away, and they're actually saying she's dying. There's confusion. There's difficulty. Well, God spared her life. Which doesn't always happen, but he did in her case. Now think of your own personal disappointments, a broken romance. A broken romance. I for those years in Taiwan, I was fudao. I was advisor to the Christian Union in Taiwan University, which is the leading university. And there was Yi Nong Gong Wen Li Fa, six different departments, faculties. One of them was agriculture, and each one had a Christian Union. And there was a girl who was leader of the Christian Union in the agricultural faculty. And the next year, she's nowhere. I said, where's she gone? I mean, last year she was leading the work. This year she ain't even there. And they said, oh, her boyfriend left her, so she's upset with God. I mean, these things happen, don't they? I know they don't happen to you, you're perfect, but I'm just talking about other people out there. A job that didn't materialize, or a sudden bereavement, when a whole structure of excited anticipation was destroyed. All this and more is in that little phrase. We had hoped. Down one, please. Even in Paul's life, 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. This is Paul. I mean, saintly, perfect Paul. I was in a Bible study many, many years ago when I was a young Christian, and this guy says, Paul never had problems. Paul just sailed through with Jesus. And I'm thinking, well, obviously, whoever printed your Bible left 2 Corinthians 1 out of it. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. But you know what he goes on to say, don't you? Because we have experienced Jesus in this situation, so we can help others. We suffered, we experienced Jesus, so now we can help others. Let me say something. One of my deepest theological bents is this. Nothing happens to you that is random. Even the battles, even the struggles. And here's the reason. Because when you have been through that valley and you have drunk the wine of Jesus' rescue, you can help people in that valley that nobody else can. Even Wadada Musa, even the great pastor. If he hasn't that exact experience, he can be very helpful. But he cannot help in the way you can. Because if you've been through and triumphed in Jesus, you can touch without even saying something. Because they know that you've triumphed in it. Nothing is random in God. Even this for the Apostle Paul. Okay, now, what's the purpose of it all? Verse 17, they stood still looking sad. Verse 35, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood amongst them and said, "Peace be to you." You is somewhere down there. Peace be to you. You see what the result was? It started as we had hoped. It finished as Jesus standing amongst them, them experiencing him in a way they never had before, as the risen Savior who had dealt with their sins on the cross, who had risen, who was authenticated by God raising him from the dead. The Father raising him from the dead. That's the purpose of it all. The "we had hoped" is a bus stop on the way. It isn't the Zhongzhan. It's not the final destination. The final destination is Jesus, us experiencing him in a way we never had before and we would never have believed possible before it happened. It's never an end in itself. But again, if we dodge the "we had hoped," we won't find verse 35 either. Okay, now I'm going to share some... Well, let me just make this comment, because I'm going to give you some quick lessons afterwards. Most of you know them all, but it's good to remember them as forewarning. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What I want to say to you is he comes to us even when we're walking away. They were walking away from Jerusalem. And Jesus came to them even when they're walking in the wrong direction. Yeah, that really encourages me. And then he knew exactly what the problem was, even though he pretended he didn't. You know why? Because they needed to articulate the problem themselves, not hide it. And he knows exactly how to rescue us. Selwyn Hughes, who along with Derek is a mentor to me, the way Jesus dealt with them, you will notice, was quite different to the way he later manifested himself to the disciples gathered in Jerusalem. The disciples walking to Emmaus were so overcome with grief that our Lord revealed himself only after he had spoken to them for some time. He could have walked right up on the road and said, "Hey, I've risen from the dead, it's me." But he didn't. Because, as Selwyn Hughes rather graphically puts it, to move too quickly with those who are grieving and neglect to give them time to come to terms with their sorrow is like trying to heal over a boil. First, the pus must be allowed to come up. It takes time. But the thing I want to say here is Jesus knows me and he knows you and he doesn't deal with us the same way. He does not deal with us the same way. Because if he dealt with you like he deals with me, it would miss. And if he deals with you like he deals the other way around, whatever, it wouldn't work. The tremendous confidence I want to give you is everything we sung in the worship time is true. He understands us. He loves us. He bears with us. I about a year ago, 2 years ago, a guy phoned me up in my office in Taipei. He said, I'll give you the English version, though he spoke in Chinese. He said, "You were our teacher 44 years ago. We'd like to have a meal together. Would you like to join us?" The Chinese culture is fascinating. Some of you understand it a lot better than me. I discovered he's a professor of electrical engineering at Taiwan University, but he still calls me teacher because I taught him 44 years ago. Chi chi guai guai da. Anyway, so we had a meal, and he was the only Christian in the group. He was a believer. That's why he invited me. And after the meal, and we'd all been talking, this guy wanders up to me, and he says, "Teacher, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah, sure." He said, "How come you're still saying the same thing 44 years after you taught us?" Do you know, I never thought of that. And the answer is Jesus, isn't it? There's something really struck me in my quiet time yesterday. I was reading Galatians 1, or a couple of days ago. And Paul says, God was pleased to reveal Jesus in me. Some of the translations say "to," but the original Greek is "in." And what Paul is saying is it wasn't just a meeting with Jesus. It was Jesus, by the Spirit of God, in that sense, being birthed in me. That's why 44 years I'm still saying the same thing. It's nothing to do with me in that sense. It's to do with the life of Jesus within us. And what I'm saying to you is that he loves us and he wants to help us grow in that life, and he will do, but he'll do it because he understands how to do it for each one here, because each one is totally different. Each one is totally different. Okay, let's get down to the lessons. Number one, be careful who you talk to. See, these two guys, they had a parallel experience. And they both wanted to grow and love in Jesus. So even though they had a problem, they shared the problem with someone who at least wouldn't drag them down. There would have been people that if they'd shared that problem with would have said, well, the Pharisees, for example, we've been telling you all along, it's fei hua, it's rubbish, the whole thing. Sometimes when we have trouble, we talk to the wrong people. Be very careful when you're struggling who you talk to, because some people want to destroy your faith. If you don't know that, you're obviously saved this morning or last night. Some people want to destroy your faith. And if you open up your struggles and battles to them, then they're going to help you walk away from Jesus, because that's what they want. Be careful who you talk to when you're struggling. Be very careful who you talk to, because even though they weren't able to help each other, they at least weren't pulling each other down. They shared a yearning for more of Jesus. Okay, next one, really critical one. The scriptures. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, this is a personal passion of mine. This isn't just when you're in a crisis. It's every day, be in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Let me give a little bit of personal testimony. I went to Taiwan in 1969. I did 2 years language study, and then I began to do student work. And the environment in which we were in was, if you understand the terminology, strongly evangelical, hostile to charismatic Pentecostal work. That is, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. But very strong in the Word. Now, generally speaking, many of the churches in Taiwan are the opposite. There have been strong moves of the Holy Spirit, and this isn't just Taiwan either. Been strong moves of the Holy Spirit. There's been, you get Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson, those kind of people coming down. You get amazing men and women of God who are way up there as far as you and I are concerned. But my concern is people don't spend time in the Bible. Do not have a regular time in the Bible. Selwyn Hughes, in some of the notes I was reading, I woke at 2:30 this morning, so I've been reading quite a lot of stuff. It's called jet lag. Selwyn Hughes mentioned someone, and this guy comes to him and says, "I've been filled with the Spirit. Oh, God is so real to me. I don't really need to read the Bible now." And Selwyn Hughes thought, uh-oh. And he said, assuredly, after a few weeks, that guy had lost it. Jesus said, "You are wrong because..." Can anybody complete that sentence? It's in Matthew's Gospel. "You're wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." See what he's saying? You have to know both. If we're deep in the Scriptures, we need to know the power of God. If we're deep in the power of God, we need to know the Scriptures. They run together because both are works of the Holy Spirit. They're his twofold work. And more, I want to challenge folk and say, do you spend time as couples, alone, whatever, or groups, in the Word of God? Studying the Word of God, not to teach others, but to feed yourself. Now, sometimes messages come out of it, but that's not the point. That's not the point. I praise God that I was brought to Christ in England by a group called Scripture Union. And though they weren't very strong on the Holy Spirit, to say the least, at that time, they were helpful in teaching us how to spend time, quiet time, every day with the Lord. And some of us say, well, I find that difficult. But whatever way you want to do it, it doesn't have to be morning, it can be night, it doesn't have to be, you know, yourself, it can be with others. As long as you're studying the Word of God and drinking from the Word of God. Because their main problem, in spite of presumably spending time with Jesus, is they really didn't understand the Scriptures. Nor did they understand what Jesus had said to them. Because he repeatedly said, "I will be crucified and the third day rise from the dead." And they didn't hear it. Now, the only protection, or one of the major protections against attacks of the evil one, is to spend time in the Word of God. Indeed, I would say this. The more you're experiencing the Holy Spirit, the more he wants you to spend time in the Word of God. So you don't go off beam. So you don't go the wrong way. I mean, I've heard prophecies that you think, goodness me, has that guy ever read the Bible? That can't be the Lord, because it's hostile to Scripture. So, the Word of God. Do we spend time in the Word of God? Next one. They said in verse 32, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Calvin, responsible for the next quote. I don't agree with all of his theology, but this is a good quote. "As the elderly or those with poor sight can hardly make out the words in a book, but with the help of glasses can read clearly, so Scripture crystallizes ideas about God which have been very confused, scatters the darkness, and shows us the true God clearly." I would go as far as to say you cannot know the true God clearly unless you spend time in the Word of God. Okay, next key. Connecting with the Holy Spirit in prayer. "But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." That spending time, and you do this. I mean, you've got a Korean pastor, so I can skip this one almost. But spending time with the Lord in prayer, not just corporately, also alone, or husbands and wives. My wife and I make it a habit when we're together. Most days we'll walk out together and pray for an hour. That's the basic. For the family, for the work, for crises that we're facing, the kind of help Lord kind of prayers. But the in those times of prayer, the Lord comes to us and strengthens us. In those times of prayer, the Holy Spirit is quite likely to speak to us. When I mentioned my daughter's accident, when that happened, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning in Singapore. My wife and I got up and we went to the East Coast because we lived on the East Coast. We went to the seaside on the East Coast and we walked up and down there. And the Lord clearly said to us, even though the last words we'd heard from the hospital is we're having great difficulty keeping her going, and we know now they had accepted that she was going to die because she's very seriously injured. As we walked, the Lord clearly said to us, the devil means this for evil, but he'll not succeed. I have purposes for her. So we spent time out there in the early morning in Singapore crying out to the Lord. And we came back and the hospital called again and said, we've managed to stabilize her. See, it's every one of us has a direct channel to the Lord in prayer. And husbands and wives, you have that for your kids. Kids, you have that for your parents. I mean, to be honest, I would carefully say our kids have no idea how much they have has been won because my wife and I have spent so much time praying for them. Let me give you one example, recent example. Last year, my eldest daughter was 40. And July the 1st, she was 40. Around the end of May, we said to her, sweetheart, either you need to get some better work or you need to change direction. She's a movie director. She does films and TV directing. Her heart is to be in a position one day to direct stuff that's edifying and testifying. But she did a major film. You can look it up. It's called Africa United, the movie. It was produced by the same company that did Slumdog Millionaire, but it didn't make the money that Slumdog Millionaire did. So after that, it's quite difficult to get work. And she was sort of writing scripts and doing this and doing that, and frankly, owed quite a lot of money. And we said in May of last year, if by your 40th birthday, nothing happens to give you a decent income, you seriously need to change direction. And she agreed with us. But we wouldn't just say that. We'd pray about it daily. We'd cry to the Lord about it daily. And it got 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, 6 days, 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. 2 days before her 40th birthday, Star Wars called her up and said, would you like to be behind-the-scenes director? Now, what's a behind-the-scenes director? You know, when they make movies, you see sometimes there's a film about the making of the movie, where they interview the producer, the director, the stars, and so on. That's what behind-the-scenes director does. So they're shooting the film in the desert in Jordan. She's overhead in a helicopter filming them, making the film. And the money was good. You see, we're called to pray and to hear the Lord. Even then, when she called us up, we were out praying at the time. And we pray, if we're in England, which isn't often, but we were at the time, we pray by a canal that runs from London to Birmingham, which, if you know England, gives quite a lot of space for walking and praying, like about 2 days, but we haven't done that yet. And she calls us up, and she said, oh, I'm not sure about this. And we thought, And then walked a little bit more, and we're praying about it, and I saw the biggest fish in that canal I've ever seen. I've only ever once seen a really big fish in that canal. I called her back and said, sweetheart, this is your big fish. go for it. But parents, pray for your kids. Kids, pray for your parents. All right. Number four. This is the one I mentioned before. Invite him in, respond to him. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. I find that scary, actually. What if? What if they'd said, well, you haven't been very helpful? Or are you really still the only one that doesn't understand? But they didn't. They had that prompting and they invited him in. And I just want to say to each of us carefully, there are times when obeying the Holy Spirit, obeying that prompting, if it's not life and death, is somewhere in that region. It's critically important that we ask the Lord to make us sensitive to His Spirit. Because His Spirit wants to lead and direct each of us. And you meet some people who have that to a remarkable degree. There was a guy in New Zealand, Bill Sabritsky was his name. You ever hear Bill Sabritsky? Yeah, Bill Sabritsky, I was in a meeting in England that he was doing, and he's busy preaching. And he says, "Somebody over there, God is on you now." And the cameraman crashed to the floor. If you take Evan Roberts, you know Evan Roberts, the Welsh revival? Evan Roberts was so sensitive to the Spirit that though he was the leader of the revival, if the Holy Spirit halfway through his message said, "Sit down," he would. You say, "Ross, why don't you hear that voice?" Now, we learn it. You understand? We need to learn step by step how to be sensitive to the Spirit. We'll get it wrong, either by doing it or not doing it. I remember many years ago in Taiwan, we did prison work. And one day, I needed to be at a meeting about gospel teams we were doing, and I couldn't do my share of the prison work. And I'm feeling guilty. Help, you know, am I going to miss leading someone to Christ? And I thought, oh, I still think I ought to do the prison work. Then a few weeks later, I met one of the co-workers, and he said, "Actually, we went that day, and the prison was locked down, so we couldn't even get in." The Lord helps us in that kind of way. You understand? We learn step by step. Obey that prompting. Very, very quickly, because the kids are getting rambunctious, but which is understandable, because that's what kids do anyway. When I was in hospital in England many, many years ago, and the Lord called me to China, it was like this, very, very quickly. I took a book into hospital. It was about a Chinese missionary. Then there was a TV program about China. I had no interest in China, no interest in the Chinese, absolutely no interest in mission. But I looked at the book and the TV program. This is 1962, black and white, and they're both about China. And then a nurse walked in, didn't say anything, turned around and said, "Have you ever thought of being a missionary to China?" And it's very hard to explain. I knew that was God. But looking back on it, you've still got a choice, haven't you? Even if you know it's God, there's a choice to say, "Well, why on earth would I do that? That wasn't what I had planned. I'm so glad, and I've no idea why, that I did what the Lord asked." But there are critical moments, and I just sense there's someone here. This is a really critical point in your life. The Lord is speaking to you. I have a strong sense of that. The Lord is speaking to you. Please go with Him. Please do what He says. Because there is a verse which says, there is a way that seems good to a man, but the end of that way is death. Don't go your way. It may be in a romantic relationship, maybe in a job offer, and you know really it's wrong, but the money's good. Do not do it, because you know the Holy Spirit is saying don't. Okay, as the Taiwanese say, gina, gina. You know what that means? Gina la. Number five, church. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. In the breaking of bread, in church, if you like, they particularly recognized him. Let me just say this very simply. When you're really struggling and you don't want to go to church, that is exactly the time you do need to go to church. Exactly the time. When the devil's saying, don't. That's exactly the time you need to be here. You need to be here anyway, because there's a lovely spirit on this place. Let me say, as someone who's never been here before and probably will never come again, there's a sweetness of spirit on this place. There is the opportunity, because it's a praying church, because it's a God-fearing church, a God-loving church, there is an opportunity to learn. So when the Holy Spirit says, don't bother, do bother, not the Holy Spirit, when the enemy says, don't bother, do bother, come. All right, we're nearly there. You'll be pleased. The next one is the last one. Open your mouth about him. They told them what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Open your mouth to testify about Jesus. Nail your colors to the mast. Many years ago, there was a lovely brother, older brother. I mean, he was probably my age now, but I mean, he seemed really old at the time. There was an older brother in Taiwan, and he had an apartment in the thing called Huayuan Xincheng, like a development on a mountain. And he said, any of you Christian workers can come and use it just to spend time with the Lord. And I used to do that. I used to go up there for 2 or 3 days and fast and wait on the Lord and just say, what are you saying, Lord? And his testimony was very interesting. He was kind of going nowhere with the Lord. And the Lord said to him, confess me openly. Confess me before your friends. At that point, his life totally changed. And you know, Romans speaks about believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. And maybe part of your progress is in a particular group that you're really hiding your faith and your love for Jesus. Maybe it's time to tell them. I mean, it's not politically correct at all these days, even with your prime minister. Certainly not with our prime minister. Actually, we don't really have one at the moment in England. Like you, they come and go. It's not politically correct to be open about Jesus, is it? It's like you can be anything but a confessional Christian. But this is the time when we need to be, in the right way, in the right time, open about our faith. We need to share carefully, prayerfully, to those who might even be the most hostile concerning the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Lord wants to take us from we had hoped, standing still, looking sad, to talking about these things and Jesus standing amongst us. What I simply want to share is we had hoped, that disappointment, that pain in your heart, that I really thought this was it, this relationship, this job, this whatever. Maybe your kids. I mean, kids know how to teach us to pray, don't they? We had hoped. I want to say to you that walking the right way with the right people in the Word, in prayer, the design of it is to cause us to know Jesus in a way we never did before. I love King David. He comes to Goliath and he says, so what's with this guy? The bear came and I killed the lion. The lion came. Bear came and I killed the bear. The lion came and I killed the lion. So what's so special about this monster? See, David was saying, I had battles and I proved God, so this one really isn't that big a deal. Whatever you're going through now, whatever your we had hope might be, please believe me that Jesus understands, and his purpose is to strengthen your faith to a degree of knowing him you'd never known before. Thank you, Lord, that you understand me and you understand each of us here. And you want us to know you better. Lord, even though sometimes we feel, where are you, Lord? Why aren't you responding to me? Even though there are struggles and battles, help us to walk out the steps that you show us in this passage so that at your time, you'll reveal yourself in a new way to us. And we'll be able to share even greater things about you with those around us. Thank you, Lord, that these two ordinary people appear in the middle of the most significant stuff in the New Testament, your death and resurrection. I can only assume because you want to help us ordinary people know you better. Do that in us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ross. And we pray that the Lord will put in good prime minister in England as well and help you to exit EU as well with right condition. Or not? All right, let's not get there. But why don't we... Is that okay? I mean, Ross or Alex, one of you, would you actually close with a blessing for us and also bless the food as well? Alex, would you do that for us? Yeah. Yeah, it's called benediction, but just impart blessing of God. Give him a hand. He's a good man. Still strong.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Be strong and very courageous. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the worship, Lord. We thank you for the sharing. We thank you for word that you gave Ross, Lord. It was a word from your Holy Spirit to us, Lord. And we do pray, Father God, that there will be a deposit in us, Lord, that will help us, Lord, Father God, to spend time with you in prayer and spend time with your word, Lord, the living word, Father God, because it is spiritual food for us, spiritual nourishment, Lord. So we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Father God, I just pray your blessing, Lord, Father, over the church here, Glory International, Lord. I pray a blessing over every person here, Lord, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would walk with them. There is, as Ross said, people may have to make decisions. There's needs, Lord, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you will be Jehovah Jireh, Lord, their provider in every situation and every circumstances they find themselves in, Lord. And also, Lord, we thank you for the blessings, the provision, Lord, of the food. Lord, we ask you to bless that food, Lord. Let it be nourishment to our bodies, Lord, Father. We're forever grateful for you. We don't take anything for granted, Lord, Father God. Everything that is good comes from you, Lord, Father. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, feel free. There's a food at the back and great.